You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. Sam Norris here, joined by Rory Delaghi on Wednesday's edition to look ahead to racing at Fontwell, Wetherby and Kempton. We've also got Lingfield in the afternoon on the all-weather, and there's an Irish card over at Dundalk. And remember, you'll hear every race live on William Hill's Racing Radio from 11:50pm with Stephen Powell, John Babb and Ollie Pimlott in the studio. But before all that, looking ahead to the action, as I said, is Rory Delaghi. How are you this morning, Rory?
Very well, thanks.
Good. Very good indeed. Enjoy the weekend's action?
I did. Some very informative racing going on there. We had Duvan making his winning chasing debut in Ireland. And we also had a stablemate, Voutour, doing the business in the 1965 chase at Ascot, although not impressing everyone with the way he did that. But some decent stuff on show, and we're warming up nicely through the season, aren't we?
We certainly are, yes. We'll start with the big breaking news this morning, though, Rory. Koenigsegg has been ruled out of the Hennessy after what has been described as a poor schooling session. Certainly be a disappointment for us, Rory, not seeing.
It will, because he made the race, and it'll be interesting to see how it cuts up or doesn't now. Obviously, the reports pre the final entry stage for this, or final acceptance stage, were that he was going to make the race. And because he was carrying 11 stone 12, it left a lot of very, very classy horses with attractive racing weights. So we had what looked a very, very good-looking race. Now, whether everybody now takes their chance, Paul Nicholls looks at the race now with Safa de Roo and says, oh, I'll be carrying 11 12 now. Do I want to do that? I suspect now that he's got through his final preparations, he'll commit the horse to the race. And if he does, then again, it still looks an absolute cracker on paper. But it would have been one of the best handicap chases we'd ever seen if Koenigsegg had taken his place, certainly on paper anyway. And let's hope that the field still stays pretty much as it is, and we get most of these turning up on the day, because again, it does look a cracking race. Real shame we don't have Koenigsegg, and clearly he's still feeling something, because his jumping is superb, as we saw at Sandown, and for him to put in a poor schooling session suggests he's feeling something in that hind leg. So best to find it early. And sort him out. Whether he comes back for the King George, of course, he's not entered in that race, but can be supplemented. But of course, you know, the
I'm sure they can find the Brad Stocks.
Well, they've got the money, but they're not rich people at all. No. But of course, they've got the money from his Gold Cup win last year. But whether they want to fritter it away in the King George, or they'll think of entering him up for something else, there are other opportunities for him. So we'll see what the fallout is. But hopefully, we'll see him back on track reasonably soon. And this still turns out to be a minor injury.
Yeah, hopefully so. The Lexus is another race that's been mooted this morning. So certainly on social media, Rory, would that be a viable option for him?
Yeah, it'd be absolutely fine. It's a case of whether the Bradstocks want to travel to Ireland. Mm. I know that the Leopardstown would be delighted to have him.
Yeah.
And I could see that the executive trying to make that as appealing as possible to the Bradstocks. So, you know, he can go left-handed or right-handed. He looked very well suited, obviously, by Newbury, as we saw last season, winning there. But he was a winner at Kempton too, so he's adaptable. He just needs a decent test at 3 miles, and he'd get that at Leopardstown, I'd have thought. So that may be in their minds, but we'll wait and see what. It's usually Sarah who does the talking for the yard.
Yeah, it seems to be, doesn't it? Yeah.
So we'll find out what happens there. And essentially, you know, we talk about her being the wife of the trainer, but she's very much an equal partner in that relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. We look forward to Koenigsegg then. Wherever he turns up. We'll give you the latest prices then for Hennessy after his withdrawal. Safa de Roo 3-1, Bobsworth 6-1, Smad Place 13-2, then it's 10-1 about If in Doubt, The Druid's Nephew, The Young Master, Valsolido, and 14-1 or bigger prices that rest. Just quickly, do you have a fancy for the big race of the weekend, Rory?
I was going to leave my pick until as late in the day as possible. There are one or two who catch the eye in there, it has to be said. Smad Place is a horse I backed in the race last year, and Alan King admits that he made a mistake and didn't give him a prep race, whereas this year he made all to win at Kempton on his return. That will put him spot on for this, and he's a big player. 10 stone 9 he has at the moment, but obviously the weight should go up 9 pounds. So that'll put him on 11.4, which is not a bad weight. The Druid's nephew was my pick in the Grand National, yes. And he would have needed his return over hurdles to put him spot on for this. Got a lot of time for Neil Mulholland. He's very good at continually getting the best out of his horses, so he would be on the short list as well. But Saffir Dereux might have been the pick with Coney Gree in the race, much as I love Coney Gree, because there's no doubt in my mind, and indeed the mind of Paul Nicholls, that he is Gold Cup standard. And for him to only carry 11 stone 3 and getting weight from Coney Gree would have given him a tremendous chance. With 11-12 being a six-year-old, that's a tougher task. But he does have an awful lot of ability. I think although he fell and unseated twice over fences last season behind Coney Gree, when favourite to beat him both times, by the way, he's actually a very good jumper of a fence. He'd have a great chance here. But normally six-year-olds with his profile get into this race with 10 stone odd, whereas he's going to have top weight to carry.
Yeah, it certainly might temper the enthusiasm of a couple of the ones towards the front of the market, Saffir Dereux and Bobsworth. Although they've come in price, they're not, as you said, going to get the nice weight now that the 172 rated Coney Gree has been removed from affairs. Because there was quite a bit of talk during last week, connections of Bobsworth. Maybe it was a bit of emotion from Nicky Henderson, but did point out that he'd be really nicely weighted. But now, obviously, with Coney Gree's withdrawal, might be a little bit more difficult for those towards the front of the market.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting looking at those at the bottom of the weights, because no one really considered those horses who would have been 6, 7, 8 pounds out of the weights and what looked a very hot race. Now the likes of Ned Stark, Finkel Bay even, who would have been out of the weights, come into the equation a little bit more. Ned Stark could be interesting at a price. I don't think he's garnered any mentions pre-race at all, but he's a horse who was a Grade 2 winner over fences last season as a novice, was strongly fancied at the Cheltenham Festival and just didn't give us running behind the Druid's nephew. He looked like he was back in form in his reappearance at Ascot, just needed the run, but again that was a prep for this, and he'll come on a fair bit, so he could be the lively outsider in the race at a big price.
16-1 then for Ned Stark for the Hennessy, which we do look forward to coming up this Saturday. But we must move ahead now to matters closer at hand on Wednesday afternoon. We've picked out four races to preview on Wednesday, and we start with Fontwell's 110. This is a handicap hurdle over 2 mile and 5 furlongs. It's a Class 3 event with 5 runners down to go to post. What got the pick here, Rory?
The pick in this is De Gooch. Ex-Donald McCain has been racing over fences, a winner at Sedgefield in March for his old yard, but is one of 50-odd, or 72 if you read different reports, who've left the Donald McCain yard in the colours of Paul and Claire Rooney, and he's gone to Johnny Farley. Now, Johnny had a runner in these colours at Uttoxeter the other day, a horse who was desperately hard to win with for Don McCain, called Blackwater King, and at big prices he would have been 20-1 or thereabouts. He's gone very close indeed to winning a handicap at Uttoxeter, showing that Johnny's quickly got at least one of those horses back to form. I think he's a very talented trainer. He showed that a couple of seasons ago when he had an old monkey out of David Pipeshard that then was reinvented for Kevin Bishop when Johnny Farley was acting as assistant to Kevin Bishop, and then Johnny set up on his own. A lot of people expected him to do very well immediately. Rather quiet start for the trainer, but he's doing very well at the moment. His strike rate with hurdlers is very good. He's got a sure touch, and De Gooch, although he's been off the track for 6 months and more, I expect him to be ready for this, and he's on a decent mark based on the pick of his form.
Okay, then, De Gooch going the vote for Rory then in the 110 at Fontwell. We'll move over to Weatherby for the second race on today's podcast. This is their 225, a handicap chase here over 1.7 miles. We've got 6 runners down for this Class 3, Weatherby's feature of the day. What did you like, Rory?
The obvious one is Indian Voyage. Maurice Barnes trains Dara Bourke on board. They won at Kelso early this month, beating Wenger de Guy, who reopposes. He won that in decent style, and he should go close to following up. That was off a mark of 119. It's up to 127, but he's been rated that high over fences before, and he now looks to be getting his act together. His form has been patchy on the whole, but no fluke about his win last time out at Kelso. Should be equally effective at Weatherby, and he is the one to beat. The key with a race like this is seeing what kind of prices you're getting. Wenger de Guy is a little better off at the weights, but he's also gone up £2 for finishing second there, so it's never easy backing a horse who's gone up in the weights for getting beaten. The one who might just be a big price, but I wouldn't rule out, is Stuart Coulthard's runner, Iwell. Pulled up in his reappearance at Ayr at the end of October, but looked badly in need of the run there. And will come on plenty for it. He might need another run just to hit peak, but he was very consistent when he found his form last season, winning twice at Ayr and also over this course and distance. And I just wonder whether with that run behind him, he will improve an awful lot. He could well be the outsider of the field here, but it's worth bearing in mind if he is a big price.
Okay, I will. 13-2 on the tissue, Rory, for tomorrow's event at Weatherby.
Yes, skinny enough at 13-2. Depends how much he's come on for that run, but I thought he might be ignored. But there you go. What price is the Indian Voyage on the tissue?
11-4 co-favourites to 3 on the tissue with 4
really?
Flight and Grey Life. Yeah, the big outsider is Vengur Dugai. 16s on the tissue prices for that.
Yeah, that's a strange one. Given that there's only a couple of pounds between him and Indian Voyage on form, so it's a strange tissue. Whether you'll get that kind of price, I don't know. But if Indian Voyage is anything like 11-4, I think he certainly deserves to head this market. I thought he might be, you know, a 13-8, 7-4 chance, in which case he'd be skinny enough in a tight handicap. But 11-4 is a fair price.
Okay. Plenty to think of then for Rory in that 225. We'll go over to Kempton now for their feature race of the day. This is the 6:45, the Wildflower Stakes. It's a listed event over a mile and a half. 10 runners are going down to post for this one, including number one, Firefighting, who just seems to be on the go constantly, Rory.
Yeah, he takes an awful lot of racing, Firefighting. And although he ran poorly last time out, I think he had excuses for that run. Slowly run race, was always in a poor position. And couldn't get involved. He's a lot better than that suggests. But there is a problem with him again in this race in that there's not an awful lot of guaranteed pace. Most of these are hold-up horses. The one who will almost certainly lead is Hamlin, having his first start for George Scott. But, of course, George was assistant to Lady Cecil before she retired, operating from the same premises. And Hamlin should go well, having finished a solid second over course and distance last time out. He did get the run of the race there, but it looks in this field that he'll also get the run of the race, so he'll be the hare, and it's a case of whether they let him go. And there is a danger that they might. He's not the best horse in the race, but he might just nick it from the front. The best horse in the race, to my mind, is Spanish Squeeze. And Spanish Squeeze, as long as Martin Harley can stay close enough to Hamlin, should be too strong for them in the finish. He was a very unlucky loser last time out. He came with a big reputation last season, third on his debut at Newmarket before winning here on his second start. He came right back to form, showed his best ever form indeed, when finishing second in a handicap at Chelmsford last time out off a mark of 95. Really unlucky not to win that, mainly because a replay showed that Martin Harley dropped his hands about 5 yards from the finish. He came through to pick up the long-time leader, Bank New and a Heron, seemed to just get the better of that battle. And then the results showed that Bagnona Heron got it on the nod. But I was working that night. We had an email from a listener saying he thought that Martin dropped his hands. I hadn't noticed the first time around, but a replay of the race showed that he did, and it lost him the race. So Spanish Squeeze should have won that race. That's very solid form. Bagnona Heron is a very good horse on his day, and there's a lot of improvement to come from Spanish Squeeze. He's only had the 4 races. He's clearly had his issues, but he comes here very fresh. On the back of a lifetime best performance. And as long as he stays the mile and a half, which is a slight question mark, but he got the mile and a quarter at Chelmsford very well last time out, and then a slowly run race over a mile and a half, I think he'd be okay. He is the potential class act of the race, and he'd be the selection.
Okay, then. Spanish Squeeze getting the pick for Rory in the 6:45. We'll stick a Kempton then for the final race on today's podcast. This is the 7:15, a Class 2 6 furlong handicap here with 12 runners down to go to post, including the winner of the race back in 2013, Lancelot Dulac. What did you make of these sprinters, Rory?
Yeah, well, Lancelot Dulac's a very good starting point. When he's on song, he's a very decent performer. He's become a little bit hard to read on turf, but his polytrack form is very solid, he was a winner over this course and distance in October. He's run an absolute cracker on heavy ground at Doncaster on the final day of the season as well, to show that he's in very, very good heart indeed. And given that he's got a good draw for a horse that races handily, he doesn't have to lead, but he's always in the front rank. Stall 2 is probably perfect. It's probably a slightly better draw than stall 1, and it means that he'll get to go pretty much the shortest way. And he looks the one to beat for me. Rivellino is also a course and distance winner, who would have a very good chance on the pick of his form as well. There's not a huge amount between him and Lancelot Dulac, but Lancelot Dulac has got a better draw. Rivellino stuck out in stall 12, which is not ideal. I'm going to throw one in at a big price here, though. And it could be a very big price, although if I can find them. You've got tissue prices for the race?
Yep, would it? Yep.
Triple chocolate.
25 on the tissue.
Yeah, a real old fan, a real old favourite of mine, Triple Chocolate. I don't know what has happened to him this season. He won well over course and distance in a handicap off a mark of 85 in February, and then his next three runs were absolutely dreadful, despite the fact that he'd shown very good form at the tracks that he ran at. Again, he ran over seven here and ran poorly. Ran at Ascot, where he's won well before, and then finished last at Windsor in a race. I think, I have a feeling he might have won the same race last year. Really progressive last season, if you see what I mean, in 2014. Mm. He is a Godolphin cast-off, and he cost very little money for Roger Ingram's yard. He won a maiden race on his debut at a massive price when he wasn't fit, and he's kept surprising people. Now, he's changed ownership, and I wonder whether he's had his issues, but he did show a lot more last time out. He finished fifth to Chucky Royale in a minor event, over seven furlongs here. A strongly run six will suit him better. He might just not be the force of old, but he's dropped back to a workable handicap mark of 88. And if he does show his old dash with trainer's daughter Rhiann Ingram riding for the first time, then he might just be able to surprise a few of these. He's a very risky bet, but at 25-1 and bigger, and he probably will get bigger than 25-1, then he might be worth throwing a couple of shekels at.
Okay, Triple Chocolate then, one of interest in the 7:15 for Rory. Just remind us, please, one more time, your four selections for the action on Wednesday.
Yeah, and the 1:10 at Fontwell, I hope De Gooch can make a winning start for his new yard. The 2:25 at Weatherby can go to Indian Voyage, although Iwell is of some interest. The listed race at Kempton at 6:45 can go to Spanish Squeeze, who would be the bet of the day. And I will throw a couple of shekels at Triple Chocolate at a big price in the 7:15.
Lovely stuff. There we are, the thoughts of Rory De Laghi ahead of Wednesday's action. And do remember to join us on Racing Radio from 11:50pm with Stephen Powell, John Babb and Ollie Pimlott in the studio to guide you through the action at Lingfield, Fontwell and Weatherby in the afternoon. Then it's an evening of all-weather racing, Kempton Park and Dundalk on Wednesday evening. Thank you very much for joining me on this edition of the podcast, Rory, and best of luck on Wednesday.
Thank you very much indeed.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.